Hey everyone, Brian from All They Rock Off here, and in today's podcast episode, I have Emily McCarthy from Go Ruck on to talk about GRT Reunion. We start off going through the GRT Reunion 2020 event. It's going to be different this year compared to previous years. Obviously, one of the reasons is COVID. Another reason, they're kind of beta testing a brand new event called the Tough Star. So we kind of get into what their plan is for that, what you can expect if you're going to be at GRT Reunion 2020. And then we talk about some COVID-related things after that, kind of how GoRuck's been pivoting, making some changes to their events. We also talk about other things Emily has going on, working with the Give team, the giant MacV1 boot donation, the mask donation, all that good stuff. This is actually the first part of a kind of two-part podcast. After we had kind of wrapped up the whole GRT Reunion thing, we talked a lot about Jason's new book. It's an awesome book. There's going to be another follow-on. Wanted to kick that over to a separate podcast because I didn't want it to get lost at the end of this GRT Reunion podcast. So hope you're excited for that. That one's coming in next week. This week, GRT Reunion 2020 podcast. You're listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. Episode number 163. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you for downloading this episode. Truly appreciate it. Just want you to know that. And here is the interview with Emily McCarthy. GRT Reunion is such a special event. It happens every year. It's just kind of like bring everyone together. It got postponed this year. And then I finally got back from vacation. I was able to watch your video and I was, really excited kind of about what you were talking about with some of the changes that are being made for kind of what you're testing, because it always seemed like GRT Reunion would be a wonderful place to test new things because it's, it's a special event. It's GRT Reunion. It's kind of something special for people who show up, they get to see something new, but then for the most part, I'm guessing it's people who have done at least one event. So the feedback you get, they have a comparison against other events. It's not like this is their first event and it's all they know.
Right. Exactly. And, it's evolved over the years, but it's usually been, a larger crowd and a lot of GRTs, a lot of people who have done several events. I've heard occasionally there'll be someone that is not a GRT sneaks in there because they're looking for, a first event that's nearby, but that's rare. It's mostly people who really know us well. And so we're going to try out something new. Still kind of testing some things out, but this will be the proving grounds for it next weekend. And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, last year, over 100 people showed up for GRT Reunion. I'm guessing there's going to be a little less travel this year because of COVID.
Yeah.
What kind of numbers are you thinking?
We're hoping it stays around 50. I think that's a good manageable number for the new situation we're in, as well as trying something new, beta testing. So I think there's something that overall for events, obviously we've been, had to cancel events out of safety and concern and just viability of being able to run them. But there's also some value to actually running events, even if they're smaller, right? I actually think some of the smaller events are some of my favorite ones. And I think other people can attest to that, even though the big ones have obviously a lot of fun to them as well. If it's in the 40 or 50 range, we're expecting a lot of locals or people within driving range. I think that's going to be great. It's important for us to still hold it. And obviously, our events are outdoors and there's been a lot of good information coming out about outdoor activities and things like that. So looking for ways to still, get some good living in without, too much procedural stuff, but at the same time, trying something new to say, hey, this is how you could still, get a lot of people involved and not have them, interacting so much that they have to wear a mask the whole time or have to worry about getting too close to people. So it's been interesting. I was actually talking to Jason because Jason's going to lead this GRT reunion. It just made more sense to not fly a cadre in or make them travel. I mean, he's here. So he's looking forward to it. And he's been wanting to test this for a while, this new sort of tough star, whatever we end up calling it. So it's going to be a cross between obviously a tough challenge and star course.
Jason's a busy guy. I mean, releasing a book, coming up with a new event.
Oh, that's not even half of it, Brian. Man, like I've been singing Alexander Hamilton like around the house, and I feel like I look at him sometimes and I'm like, yeah, why do you write like you're running out of time, you know? he's working on another book already, and you know, the podcast have been keeping him busy. He's just always been like that. But he's that bored. Him sitting around idly is a very dangerous thing in our house.
Well, it seems like he's got plenty of stuff to keep him busy. So he's come up with this kind of new event that you're beta testing, and I didn't even catch it on the patch until after I'd watched your video. But it says tough, and there's a star at the end of it. So that's a star for the tough star. So what is the plan for this beta event? Like, what can people expect if they're showing up, or what can people be, you know, jealous of if they're missing?
Well, here's the dirty secret is that we were planning this even before the pandemic. This is not just pandemic knee-jerk reaction. We were planning to do something new all along. Now, of course, we're going to have to put some other considerations in now because of the pandemic. But the cool news is that this is something that's been in the works. DS, Cadre DS, was actually supposed to be leading this with Jason, but he is stuck in Africa right now. And he's bummed. We're bummed that he's going to miss being here, but he's also, you know, helping with sort of the design of it, and he will continue to do that. So if you'd like, I can walk you through it in kind of high level.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I'm just going to say up front, subject to change, you know, what I'm saying now.
Still a week and a half out.
and you know, it could change like on the fly sort of thing. That's the beauty of these type of beta testing. That's what you get. That's what you get when you get a new patch, right? But I would like to walk through it as I understand it, because there is some interesting elements to it. And again, we're going to try some things out and see how they go. So yeah, so just to start, so you show up here, start time's 1 a.m., old school style, August 15th, early Saturday morning. And it's going to be at HQ. And, you know, typical sort of admin check-in in the first hour plus welcome party. And at that point, they're going to be broken into cells or squads of 3 to 5, you know, kind of the magic number for what we like to do scavengers and star courses. And that's been a number we've determined is just really great for, you know, like a close-knit team. So once that's broken down, everything's sorted out, you're going to have your typical welcome party sort of stretched out on the beach, probably going to get wet. And then you're going to come back to headquarters. And from, you know, there's going to be basically an hour of PT, and I'm not sure if it's going to be a hero wad per se, but let's just say it's going to be a workout with a story attached. So, and we're thinking that we're going to have a time cap on that, so we can kind of, you know, get that going. And the sort of TBD stuff is sort of what are the sort of cash out, what does that workout look like, and then is there a cash out that's group related? You know, Brian, you and I are on a team with a couple others. We've got to get 200 push-ups done. Cash out. How we divvy that up is up to us in our squad, right? So that is obviously going to give the people who need more, and the give people who need less. So there's that team element worked in there. So after that, one of those first sort of wads, then there'll be a movement. And this is where the Star Course element comes in. There'll be a movement card given to each squad, and the squads will go out, take their photo in front of the destination, come back, show the cadre the photo, and then once everyone's back, then you start your other wad. So rinse and repeat that for, we're thinking, four wads plus four movements. Maybe three movements. It depends on, I think we want to end on a wad when everyone's kind of around. But, you know, the point is that within your own squad, you can still sort of socially distance, you know, or wear a mask amongst yourselves with that. But you will also be, you know, you're going to be that group, and you're going to have to be comfortable with breathing the air around that those people. But the other folks you're going to be spread out from, and you'll see them working. And, you know, this what we were going to do before is this idea of like, hey, maybe you didn't meet the time hack, you get some extra weight, if you did just excel and we need to give you more, you know, that's where kind of the sandbags sort of come in and carrying those along the movements. We're kind of still working through that just because of COVID stuff. And I think because of where we're set up, we may just do like a disinfectant and water, you know, rinse down station and see, you know, how that works. Obviously, people's comfort zone will work with that. So there's time hacks, there's caps, there's going to be cash out group PTs, and then there's going to be your Star Course movements, and that are verified by your cadre upon the start coming back to headquarters. So it's all going to basically sort of cloverleaf from a centralized area, meaning HQ, and you know, starting and ending there, minus the welcome party on the beach as a group. So I will say that we did something like this in a rock club in Monterrey, Mexico, and it was pretty fun because it allowed this kind of reconvening, hanging out with people, but then this going out into smaller pods on these other movements. And it was called the Revolution Rock, and it lasted like, it was like an all day sort of thing. And we got to see the city and get out and kind of have those talks, but also, you know, be able to kind of recharge and be remotivated by the leader at the central point. So what questions do you have for me?
Yeah. So, you know, if you show up with a group of people, will you be able to be with them on the same, you know, the same cell, the same squad for this? Or is it going to be, you know, cadre is going to set the groups?
That's a great question. So what we're going to do for this is, if people come with their own kind of sort of quarantine type group, they're going to stay in that. And I think that's just, that's something that we might have probably mixed people up more, you know, prior to the pandemic, but now it makes sense to kind of let people stay in their comfort zones. You know, the issues are, and we're going to do this on site. There's not going to be for this one, for the beta. I mean, if this goes well and there's a chance to sort of scale or, you know, push out to other areas, which I know there's some interest there from the leader, the rec club leaders, then we'll figure out. Maybe it's sort of a Star Course. You submit your team beforehand and you're already sort of grouped up. But, you know, being that this being, we've done this before, we're going to be able to let people, they got that admin time to get people sorted out. I think the issue will be if someone shows up and they don't have a group, figuring that out, right? And managing expectations and understanding what that is. And these are part of the reasons why we tell people, like, bring a mask, you know, bring an extra one, and, you know, bring your own weight, you know, like, that stays to yourself sort of thing. So, yeah, we'll have some sort of built-in health and safety sort of procedures there. But, yes, ideally you show up with an idea of who your team is and you get someone added to them, then, you know, we work on that. I mean, with 3 to 5 people, there's going to be a lot of teams, you know, there's ostensibly you could have, you know, more than 10 teams. If you're having 50 people, you know, so it's more for the cadre kind of to stay on top of, but that's okay. You know, cause that's sort of the cadre's role is shifted to kind of being, being that person that's organizing the teams. And that brings me to, I just want to, did that answer your question, Brian?
Yeah, you answered it. And that makes, I'm really excited about that. It makes a lot of sense that in a non-COVID world, that you could just, everyone write your name on a piece of paper and just start throwing names out, creating groups that way. And, you know, you've got the whole forming a team thing. But I think that's really cool that if you have like this, you know, this bubble that you've been training within and, you know, everyone else is being safe and you feel comfortable there, I can see people who might not have even been looking at events because they are, you know, trying to say socially distant from everything, saying, you know, maybe we could get together and do this because PT is going to be, you know, welcome party on the beach. You can stay apart. The group workouts, you can stay separate. You've got this pod already and you can do the event with them. And so I could see people who might have been on the fence being like, oh yeah, we could, you know, we could totally do that because we can maintain just within ourselves, our group of 3 to 5 that we know is safe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we've been seeing this kind of happen as a society, right? We're making these choices where it's not a zero risk environment. We're, you know, managing the risk and we're trying to mitigate it with the creation of pods or squads or cells and or being outdoors or disinfecting and things like that. So yes, I think, you know, in another time in GoRec, like you said, it would have been like, nope, you're out of your comfort zone. You don't get to stay with your spouse or your brother or whatever. We're going to be okay with checking that for now. And I think, you know, maybe there'll be a time when that goes back to that. But for now, we need people to, well, we don't want to exclude people that want to get out and do something just because they think, oh, well, I don't want to be up close with anyone except the folks that I've been around. So yeah, that allows that. And I think, you know, people just have different levels of their comfort level on that. It kind of brings me to this point of scoring because, you know, in a typical tough challenge, there's not a score that's kept, right? If it is, it's the cadres and, you know, there might not be rhyme or reason on the participant side to it. But for Star Course, there's obviously a time hack to earn a patch. And there's obviously sort of, you know, your first, second, third place and on performances. But this one is a little different. So that's still kind of in the, we're going to see, because we don't want it to be so score driven, you know, but at the same time, there should be, you know, there's got to be some sort of like, you know, if you are just, you know, going out and doing these movements so fast, is there sort of like some extra, you know, work that you put in, you know, or if you are, you know, kind of struggling to keep up, like how do we do those things? So I think there's going to be some, we're talking about some ways to kind of keep people engaged and, as you know, and pushing themselves, because, you know, not everyone's going to come at the same ability level. Right. So that's sort of that's why, you know, the time hacks or the time caps or the cash outs come into play. And you know, there's still work to be done, but it could be maybe there's some flexibility on how it's distributed. So yeah, that'll be interesting. Now, if there is, like, you know, sort of a Star Course, you know, well, we did all these, we didn't, you know, we hit our time hacks, you know, it would be just bragging rights, you know, sort of thing. But I don't think that's going to be the focus. We did a Ruck Club battle that was, you know, there's some similar elements to this, not exactly, but we did a Ruck Club battle and that was, you know, there was like a declared sort of winner out of that. I just wanted to say that we're considering this, but it's not at a focus. You know, we still want there to be this sort of like, we went out and did something cool together as this like larger group, even though it's different. This is something I've been telling myself and my children and others that I come into contact, is that we just have to acknowledge up front, this is going to look and feel different. It's not a star. It's a tough star. And that's, again, there's something cool and creative and new about that. But there's also like, well, what are you going to find out does not work? Or what are we going to find out people want instead? And this is where having the leaders and that, you know, our rec club leaders and the GRTs that know this will be able to say, wow, this was awesome, this new addition, or I hated this because of, you know, X, Y, and Z. And that's great. That's great feedback for us to get as an events company and a people company.
Yeah. And I mean, the first thing I thought of, or one of the first things, was the that Rut Club battle that you ran down there, because it sounded pretty, you know, pretty similar. But I like that this is, you know, expanded beyond that, because you don't have to be a part of a Rut Club to show up. You know, mm-hmm. you can have your squad, you know, your social distance circle show up, or you can just show up and, you know, get together with another group. And then, yeah, that, you know, my head went right to competitiveness as well, because that's where my head's at these days. But I was, you know, thinking of different things, and I don't know what you guys have considered, but for like a pretty competitive version of it, you could have like after each movement, when a team gets back, like some set of workouts that they can do, and every like that's where you gain the points. So if mm-hmm, you get back mm-hmm. first, then you start cycling through this workout, scoring up points, and then you do that till the last team gets back. So, you know, the first team's not just hanging out, high-fiving for 10 minutes while the R team comes back.
Yeah, the goal is not to is to minimize the downtime, right? Because that's when things get boring. And you know, the best sort of GoRec events that I've done is when there never seemed like there was downtime. It was just, even running through administrative stuff, it felt like you were still there. And I think there's an art and a science to doing that. I mean, I think teachers have to do this. I think this, you know, you got their attention, don't lose it, right? So what I think for the sake of this experiment, we're going to score. But whether or not we make it a big deal or the focus of it, that's sort of going to be determined, right?
Yep.
Because I don't really, you know, like, it, GoRec events have this strange way of being competitive but not about it, you know? And I think that we're trying to strike that balance as well, because it's not going to be like, you're not, the, you know, the hard chargers that are leading are not supposed to be making the other ones feel worse. You know, it's still supposed to be like, wow, this was a collective effort that was put in, and you should be proud of what you came and put out. So,
yeah. And that's, it's really interesting, because, you know, like you said, this isn't a tough, right? And this isn't a star. This is a tough star. Mm-hmm. And so you're taking a tough, which is everyone's one team. You're all working together against the cadre, or with the cadre, you know, however it's being run. But you know, you're all working together. And then there's the mm-hmm. star course, where you're all on these smaller squads, separate teams. And I mean, that can get pretty competitive, even though it's still fun. You're still waving at people, but you know, you see someone like, you know, I'm going to go off and beat them. Yeah. So it will be really exciting to see, you know, assuming that more of these happen than just this one, mm-hmm. Kind of where it goes, because it could even be like all the squads, all their points get added together, and you're going against some level set by, you know, the event, mm-hmm. by the cadre. And so it's, even though there are still points and everyone's still working really hard, it's, you know, everyone's trying to get these points together to beat some level the cadre's got. And you have to, if you don't, by the end of the event, you have to make up the difference. You could still kind of figure that out, because it's, competitiveness changes things, and it does,
but it's a motivator too.
Absolutely.
So but it can get out of hand. I think what we're trying to avoid is the situation, and, you know, CrossFit, for all the good things, it's like they require so many scores and judges, and like, it's like, this is not what we want this to be, right? It's the keep it simple strategy in place. And I mean, when you imagine sort of trying to scale this and run this, you've got to keep it where, you know, a cadre on the ground is able to do this, and that the scoring is either so simple that they can do it, or it can be done remotely, like we do for Star Course and Scavengers. And I mean, that's just, otherwise, I mean, the overhead is just out through the roof. You know, you're sending people, and right now we're looking at, you know, ways to, you know, reduce the travel footprint. You know, we're, you know, with all the restrictions in place, that's not as easy. So, you know, could a rec club leader that's very motivated to do something like this put this on with the help of some, you know, headquarters back end support? That's a question that we are interested in asking and figuring out. You know, just sort of like what we did in Monterey. I mean, that was all rec club driven around like a specific event that they wanted to celebrate by, you know, getting together and doing PT and recking. So yeah, there's a balance that we're trying to strike.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, being in the Seattle area, there's a number of cadre who are local, so I never really consider too often that, you know, there's cities where that's not the case, where the only way they have events are when cadre fly in or drive 6 hours in. It's you know, it's a big thing to make that happen. So how, while still trying to keep travel low, or, you know, how do you allow events to happen for those groups?
Right. Yeah. And we're looking at this on a much broader scale. I mean, something that was interesting that came out of the pandemic was the quarantine ruck, the do-it-yourself star courses. I mean, what I found fascinating is that, you know, we published 27 of our hit lists for the 12 miler. And it became very apparent that that wasn't just going to suffice. People were like, okay, cool. If you live near those 27 cities, thanks a lot. And so we opened it up to say, hey, if you want to string together some points that you know from your city, we'll put them in our template. We'll put this up there. We'll make it, you know, rubber stamp it, so to speak. And then you can have at it and still earn this patch. And I was thinking, oh, we'll get a few people. We have now over 600 hit lists from small town America, all these cool places. And it was just such a cool thing because it was very much community sourced. So we are trying to see like, hey, you know, if you can't make it to an event or you can't, you're too far to actually show up and be like a you know, live member of a rec club, like what are these other ways that we can, you know, engage our community and have them getting out there rucking and, you know, doing cool things. So that's sort of the next level of like the virtual, you know, sort of events. And I don't want to say virtual. I know everyone's going virtual with all their races, but this is something that's interesting because I think there's a time and place for it, right? Like, hey, I just want to go. I just feel like doing something. Like, you know, what about this 12 miler in my neighborhood I've never done? I want to do that. Or what about this workout that I want to do? So, and kind of seeing, you know, in where the rec clubs that come in is when, you know, like they want to organize and do that with their group or not. But yeah, we're looking at some other ways to get people involved and just, you know, it's. I think it would actually be a good way to test yourself before you do an event, you know?
Yeah. And one of my favorite things about having all those lists now is that when travel does start to open and I travel to a new city, I can pull up the list and I can see, you know, even if I don't have the time to go do the miles, I still have a list of places that the local GRT think are cool enough to visit on a star course.
Yes, I love that. And this is something that came from the Ingress world, right? Our that gamification of cool points of interest. And now it's even more curated because this is now like the GRT's locals, you know, there's like a military influence or there's a service influence or there's, you know, this cool bit of history. So I agree. I think I can't wait until I can kind of branch out again and start to go into city and look up in the Google Drive and mm-hmm. just pick, wow, there's a place, and then, you know, feel connected somehow just by looking at those and visiting some or all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I submitted one for my local town because I'm 20 miles north of Seattle. I didn't want to drive into Seattle to do it. But, you know, I made sure when I was submitting it, it's like, start at a watering hole, you know, hit up some awesome places. There's one bar in the middle and then you end at another bar.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll have to do that someday.
Yeah, come out and visit.
Get back there. Yeah, that's really cool. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting things to come out of, you know, some tough times and some things. And I think, you know, we'll have the classics, you know, they'll be there. Whether they be with a few more precautions or not, but trying new things is also cool too. So that's what this reunion weekend will be. There's also going to be a leader rock for any leaders that are in town, that we're just going to keep it simple and get some drinks to go and then just rock on the beach and, you know, plenty of area to spread out in, and you can't come and not be on the beach. So that'll be fun. Just hoping there's no more tropical storms that want to come through.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And that's the night before the Tough Star.
Yes, I think, you know, having asked people, they said the night before the 1 a.m. event would be best. So it's going to be from 7 to 8. So we'll catch the beginning of the sunset and allow people some time after that to grab a bite to eat or do whatever they need to do before 1 a.m.
And there's a donut ruck as well. Is that before? Is that the morning of, or is that after the event?
That'll be the morning before. So Jason has been running our donut rucks. They start at 6:30 with an SRT type workout. And then at 7 a.m., there's a donut ruck. I did find out that Jason sometimes was skipping the donut part. And so I told him, you have to take the people on to the donut, Jason. So he started doing that. And we had a really good crowd last week. There was just people in from like out of town, not too far away, you know, just come in to, you know, a hospital visit or passing through, or sometimes people vacation here that live in the interior of Florida. And, you know, just looking to get their workout in. And it's great. So they get their workout and then, you know, they bring their kids too and you know, ruck up to the mini bar donuts and grab some donuts and coffee. And, you know, it's usually done about 7:30, 8. So it's quick. So if people who are coming town, you know, before then, they can catch that. I know. So we actually have a ruck club leader from Tallahassee who's coming in. And she's specifically coming in the night before Thursday in order to attend the donut ruck. She's also coming in to pick up the boot donations that we're making for the Tallahassee Police Department, following up on the buy one, donate one. So that's been something I've been working on and wrapping it up. It's been a lot of sizes and back and forth, but it's been really great to, you know, talk to these points of contacts and be like listening to them and what's going on. And, you know, there's just, I think we forget sometimes that they're real people, you know, that are feeling all of this too, and showing up for work and things like that. So it's been great to see that, you know, be able to do something that's nice, you know, and be like, hey, this, our community did this, and they, you know. And then on the flip side, like we are donated recently some cross trainers and rucks, as well as over $12,000 to the Give Team, which is that inner city fitness group out of Orlando. They're actually up visiting Joe DeSena's farm right now doing a burpee challenge. And it's been really cool because I'm sponsoring one of the Give Team athletes who I met when he came to headquarters and things like that. So it's just been a really, you know, just some great things have come of the adversity, and it's caused a lot of great conversations. And while the work's not done, it's still been, I'm seeing it on the front level of kind of, you know, we're going to do a wrap up and blog and kind of share this news. But I'm now kind of finishing that up too. And just, you know, thankful for our community and how diverse it is and how, you know, we are still building bridges in a lot of ways.
That's awesome. And I had the Give Team on a previous podcast episode, and it was great to talk to them, figure out, you know, where the organization came from. And that's so cool. And so they're all outfitted with the new cross trainers that coming out in October.
You know, so these were, sorry, they have the IOs now, okay. But maybe, yeah, we'll we've made a pledge to keep their team outfitted. So yeah, I mean, we want to make sure they have what they need to do, get their rucking and their workouts done. And I'm sure those guys and girls blow through some shoes, you know, they get out there. What we're looking forward to is, you know, kind of when it's the right time is going down to Paramore in Orlando and doing a workout there with them and possibly even an event. But, you know, I'm talking with their leader and just trying to find the right time to do it. You know, sometimes it's good to not force things.
Yeah.
You know, with.
Especially during a pandemic.
Yeah. And just, you know, they're traveling now and doing some cool things. But, you know, we're just going to pick the right time when it's a little quieter and go do a workout with them and figure out what's the next step. But that's what's great. It's, you know, it's a two-way sort of conversation on these sorts of things. And I'm really feel fortunate to be a part of it.
That's awesome. And that's, I mean, a lot of work to wrap up both of those big projects, I'm sure.
You know, it's and I'm still, the mask one is another big project that we're working to wrap up. Yeah, so it, you know, it's one of those things. It's something to launch something, but then someone's got to carry it across the finish line. And I feel good to be able to do these things and finish them out. And then, you know, we'll have like a wrap up on this. But you know, it's always. It doesn't ever end, you know, you wrap these things up and then you're looking ahead to what's that next thing that we have to do, you know, to really just like see what's on people's minds, you know, what's going on in the world. You know, we've got the Team RWB fundraiser this month going on, the Rucka Sketch, and you know, that's kicking off. So hopefully we'll get some funny designs out of that and that they, we can raise some money for a great veterans cause that's done a wonderful job engaging their online community, which is really great during this time. And then, you know, looking ahead to September, you know, you've got Travis Manion Foundation, all their 9/11 heroes runs and rucks. A ton of those are going virtual. I mean, I don't know what the last count is. I mean, I know they're trying to hang on to a few. But the Jacksonville one has gone virtual, and you know, we're looking to sort of gather up local ruck clubs here, and not to create a massive event, you know, to create problems, but to see, you know, who within those events is looking for something outdoors to do and to ruck communally, and sort of doing that as a group. So, you know, there's still a lot of positive community engagement on those fronts.
And so, kind of speaking about. You know, you're talking about wrapping up projects and going forward. So the, you know, the Tough Star. So assuming that is a success here with the GRT reunion, is there, you know, any thoughts or plans on, you know, giving those as an option for the remainder of 2020, maybe beginning 2021? Because there are, you know, still concerns in states about larger groups of people, but that seems like a great way to put a fun event together that works, you know, it checks off the boxes for socially distancing and all that stuff.
Yeah, we're definitely looking at that. It's on the table as an option. You know, 2020, I feel like we're going to blink and it's going to be almost over. But at the same time, you know, looking at 2021, I mean, we're going to be launching some of that schedule here soon. So we'll see what we can do with the rest of 2020. I think, you know, there's complicating factors with, you know, cadre travel, like we talked about and things like that, but it's not a dead end, you know, it's just a thing to consider. Right. And I think, you know, we're looking at 9/11 events very closely and have been for the last several months and, you know, trying to figure out what does that look like because, you know, New York, you know, hit really hard by the pandemic. And it's just the last thing we need is to force ourselves into a place where it's not the right time. So there's some very, you know, tough conversations being had on the ground with, you know, with people on the ground in New York that are well placed in the security and departments there. So, but I think there's opportunities. I mean, in a lot of ways, we're saying, okay, well, 2021, we're going to be optimistic. That's the 20th anniversary. We're going to go big, right? So for this year, what is it? What can we do that's different? And you know, fortunately, we have such a great community of people that they send me ideas all the time, and I love it because I love collecting ideas, and I love kind of throwing them on the wall and seeing like what can we actually do. I mean, they don't all convert to actually being executed, but you know, just we're wondering if we just double down on Shanksville, Pennsylvania this year, making it really special, right? And it always has been special, but we haven't run an event there every year. But it's sort of like this little in between rural area between DC and New York. What if, and with an outdoor memorial, what if we could do something like, you know, a Tough Star that has, you know, this sort of hero wad that's related to 9/11. I mean, so we're throwing these ideas on, and I just got another one this morning for another sort of memorial that's outside of the city. And I was thinking to myself, well, maybe that could just be a New York locals, you know, I mean, if there's problem crossing borders or whatever. So everything's still being worked through. And sort of the beauty of a GoRuck event is that we can run these nimbly, right? Like someone was asking me about permits the other day, and I was like, you know, there's actually when and where we have to get permits, we do. But in a lot of cases, the cities that we're talking to say, what, you're only going to be there for this amount of time, and then you're going to be moving. And then they're like, ah, whatever. You don't need it for that, right? Or you're under the amount of people that are required. So we're able to adapt pretty quickly and say, hey, we're not going to be able to run these events that we've always run for our whatever, you know, these reasons. But we are going to be able to do this, and this is what it's going to look like. So again, this is not set in stone yet, but these are sort of the, I mean, it's coming up, right? I mean, we're gonna make a call on this soon. And this has been happening since March, you know, a lot of back and forth, and we'll run this, we won't, and stuff. And what I tell people, try to remind is that this is, we are able to adjust fairly quickly, you know, within reason. You know, it's not this kind of long stretched out thing, and we are able to sort of deal with things on a local level. So, you know, these events are going to look different because of this, and this one we're going to be able to run it according and in accordance to this state's guidelines, things like that. So I think there's that adaptability, and you know, having, you know, great participants that are open for new things. I mean, you're showing up to a GoRuck event, you're already, you know, ready for whatever they throw at you. And then obviously our cadre, who they have such great experience, you know, and doing these sorts of things, it's second nature in a lot of ways to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're signing up for a GoRuck event, you're already kind of signing up for the unknown. So
yeah,
a little bit more unknown is not usually a bad thing.
Yeah, hopefully not. Obviously, we want people to be safe, but we also want them to keep training and to feel good about getting outside and doing some things that could suck a little bit. I mean, this is, GoRuck events are synonymous with mental resilience, right? You do these things to check in on how, I mean, I haven't done anything hard in a while, like physically, and how does that translate to my life? And how is this going to help me, you know, handle the stresses that come with, you know, just life in general, you know? So it's not like it's less necessary now. I actually would say it's more, right? And whatever that looks like, whether it, you know, be doing workouts in your garage or workouts at your ruck club or virtual events or actually going to an event that it's accessible and makes sense for you. So I think, you know, what's really great is just having all these options for people. And what I want us to do is offer a broad array without getting unfocused on what we do best.
Yeah. And I mean, you've got so much going on. I wouldn't even, you know, when I reached out, I was thinking, oh, the, you know, GRT reunion is coming up so quick, but there's so many other things that are coming up so quick. And you're already thinking, you know, past that, it's, you guys are busy.
Yeah. You know, but it's great. You know, I love what I do. We love it. We get a lot from our community and they push us to go in all these different directions. And then our cadre keep us, you know, keep us humbled by how they lead their events. And you know, I hear them say that they love sort of the flexibility within the parameters. And you know, it's like, again, it's going back to that balance. So it's just been, it's been interesting to watch, you know, how this all plays out. And I see time and time again, a lot of my GoRuck friends and family, they're able to either confide, you know, that they're having a tough time, or they're able to pull each other through this, or each other, you know, or themselves and their family to be like, hey, and they're falling back on these same things that they practiced in an event or, you know, within their GRT community. So it's a source of strength, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud of everyone that's, you know, been able to make the best of the situation. That's, like you said, a lot of unknowns.
Yeah. We have such a great community, and it's, you know, I think it's one of the things that keeps people sticking around. You know, even people who are always looking for the next event, you know, they stumble upon a community like this and then they stay because it's awesome people.
Yeah, it is really great. You know, I miss seeing people in person, but I've also been in on a lot of sort of happy hours and done virtual events with ruck clubs, and, you know, just the creativity abounds. And I think it's a testament that this is something that it's not just an HQ thing, you know, it's a community driven and it's a cadre inspired thing that's bigger than you and me, Brian, you know, and bigger, it's bigger than just headquarters sort of thing. And yeah, there's a lot that goes that to unpack in something like that. And there's ups and downs like anything, but it makes you think like, wow, this is special, right? You know, it makes me think of like the Hash House Harriers, you know, and how when you're living abroad, you can just connect with this kind of wacky group of people that like to drink and run. And there's something to it, right? There's something to the fact that still exists, you know, and you know, there's communities like this all over, but this one's ours, and I'm proud of it.
It's similar, you know, you go to a new city. I mean, not that many people are going to new cities these days, but pre-COVID, you could go to a new city and reach out to the local ruck club, get together, hang out, find workouts, you know, figure out where to go, what spots, and it's an awesome group. And I think that the, you know, the strength has really shown through during the COVID times.
I just want to mention this. It's been amazing. Like the ruck club in Tokyo, they've been in quarantine for a very long time, like very strict sort of measures. And they've had some rough luck this past year. They've had a lot of events canceled, not just for COVID, but from a typhoon and just bizarre stuff that's come up, like acts of God things. And, you know, I showed up for an online workout and I was expecting, you know, a handful of people. There were like 50 people working out and on the Zoom call. And, you know, they're sticking with it. And, you know, it's really great to see stuff like that, you know. And, you know, I've seen so many good things through ruck clubs and other individuals, you know, donations, food pantry rucks, you know, sort of being aware. So, you know, doing sort of social justice work, you know, whatever kind of is there, you know, what they're focused on. And I think it's been a source of strength. It's been for me. I've looked on it and it made me smile and get through some rough days.
That's awesome. And yeah, I didn't even know that was going on with them. And that's amazing. 50 people on a Zoom call working out. That is beyond impressive.
At least. Yeah. Yeah.
So I know I'm backing up towards the amount of time that, you know, I scheduled this call for, but I'm just wondering, is there anything else that we might have, you know, missed related to either GRT reunion, the Tough Star, you know, anything in the future that you want to talk about that might be going on?
I think we covered the reunion. I think, you know, people come with an open mind and you're ruck and it'll be great to see people. I'm excited.
Barbecue at the end?
Yes. We're going to do like a home style barbecue, you know? I mean, when we've had larger groups, we brought in like food trucks or whatever, but you know, for this size, we're just going to keep it simple and you know, we'll have some veggie options, I'm sure. If anyone's vegetarian, but yeah, we're going to do that. And then you know, looking ahead, there's a lot that's been kind of, this has been a very focused time at GORUCK. Our team is, I'm here at headquarters and yep. I'm the only one here. We've kind of redone the space to be better for events and sort of just meetings or people that need to, like me, that need to get away from their home to get work done. And everyone else has been working from home. And I think I don't know if we're going to go back, you know. I think a lot of people love it and they love the flexibility. So that's been interesting from a headquarters standpoint. And because of that, you know, there's just been a lot of new projects started, you know, the whole kind of venture into media with Jason's book. We're working on another one. We're also telling Rich's story of his time in Vietnam and beyond. And so that's been really cool. And I think the podcast has been very inspirational for a lot of that work too. And, you know, and then there's this whole other side project Jason's working on that's, I can't get into it now, but it's sort of like an app related thing for fitness stuff. So that's going to be tested with our ruck clubs. We're going to start there. But I think it's taken a little bit longer because kind of reimagined it. And now it's much broader in scope than what we originally thought. We originally were like, all right, we can get this app and it can connect people. But then, you know, now with everything, it's like, we need to really think this through a little bit and think about sort of like something, you know, you build for the future, not just to solve this problem now, but to look ahead. So that's exciting. Because it's kind of a big project, bigger than what I think we were planning on. But Jason's been spending some time on that as well as the books. And I think he's looking forward to kind of getting out there and leading an event. Because it's been a minute for that. So he always gets inspired by that sort of stuff.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. This has been episode number 163 with Emily McCarthy. If you want links to anything we talked about during the episode, hit up alldayruckoff.com/163. Got a bunch of links there. Like I mentioned at the beginning, this is the first in kind of a two-part interview. I got a preview version of Jason's new book, How Not to Start a Backpack Company. Read it, I guess a week ago, and Emily and I talked about it for a little over half an hour. It started out kind of as we were wrapping up this call, just a question about it, and the conversation kept going. So I wanted to kind of separate that off from this episode, because like I was saying at the beginning, it's an amazing book, and I didn't want that content to get lost at the end of the GRT Reunion 2020 podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to help support the All Day Ruck Off podcast, you can leave reviews. They're honestly, truly appreciated. You can leave them on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere else that accepts reviews. You can support through the online store, alldayruckoff.com/store, or you can support through Patreon, patreon.com/alldayruckoff. And if you support that way, you get access to some bonus content. In the process of building an office, which has been a ton of work, but a lot of fun. And so I'm putting all that info out there, a lot of pictures. There's also bonus podcast episodes. Just uploaded the 8th episode last week. I've got at least 2 more ready to go there. And those are kind of fun, shorter, much shorter episodes, usually from the front or the end of a podcast where I'm just kind of talking back and forth with the guest. So they're a lot more casual, but they're still a lot of fun, and there's some pretty good stories hidden in them. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Thank you for downloading this episode. Really hope you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week, where I'll be talking to Emily about Jason's new book, How Not to Start a Backpack Company. As always, don't forget, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and thank you again for tuning in.